Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about what to do going into labor and what to do post-labor, so both you as a mama and your baby can be healthy. Now, why right now? Well, that's where I'm at with my stage of life. I am 4.5 weeks away from my due date in the middle of this hectic coronavirus COVID-19 crap, and I'm doing my best to prepare my body for labor because I know that mommy's body is going to give baby most of their immune system. And not only that, I want to be healthy postpartum as well. Postpartum depression is a real thing, and we're going to get to that later. But first, let me share with you my experiences with pregnancy. I've had 3 pregnancies. This is my 3rd pregnancy right now, and they've all been different. My first pregnancy was with Easton. He turned 3 about a month ago. Or just over a month ago. And his pregnancy was the last 9 months of medical school. I do not recommend getting pregnant during medical school or going through that, but some of us do it and we survive to tell the story. So I actually graduated with my doctorate degree the same week that I had Easton and became a mom. But that pregnancy was really rough. I had no idea. It was my first pregnancy. I had no idea what to expect going into it. I did not know that first trimester, you are just exhausted and you physically can't hardly do anything. Well, I was in the middle of going to school. I had to be at clinic at 7:30 in the morning. I didn't get done with clinic or school until 6:30 at night. And I remember falling asleep on the couches around campus in the 10-minute breaks that we got between classes. And my best friend would come wake me up and be like, okay, it's time to come to class. It was awful. On top of that, I was so sick. I'm one of those that really, really struggles with nausea and vomiting. And with his pregnancy, I threw up for the first 7 months of the pregnancy. The only reason why I think it stopped was because I went from being on campus in clinic during school hours to off campus running I was underneath another doctor in his office getting to know that side of things. So the stress levels went way down, which is why I think the nausea and the vomiting stopped. So one of those reasons why total theory for me on why you get sick during pregnancy is one, the stress levels, and 2, toxicity. Because it just all of the raging hormones that you've experienced in that first trimester, your liver has a hard time keeping up. And when it doesn't keep up, or there's so much burdens, there's too many, the burden is there. Your liver really struggles to keep it under control. Had I known what I know now with Easton's pregnancy, I would have asked for medication. I tried everything natural underneath the sun. I tried your little wrist things to put the pressure points. I tried ginger. I tried my chiropractor did his AK thing with me. I tried just about everything natural. And my OB, I worked with many of them because of the scenario, never ever suggested medication. I survived off of Jamba Juice every single day. And here and there, I would get like those boost drinks. And I would drink those, but I would get a Jamba Juice, large one, put 2 scoops of whey in it, and I would sip that all throughout clinic. And that's how I would survive. Threw up many times on campus, threw up many times at home. That was the story of my first pregnancy. But good news is my little 3-year-old is as healthy as can be. He doesn't forget anything. So if you tell him something, you better stick with it because he will remember. And he's just a joy to have. That was back in 2017. And then I got pregnant 5 months when Easton was 5 months old. I did not want to do the birth control thing. I wanted my hormones to level out on their own. And because I knew there are some repercussions for that. But nonetheless, I got pregnant again. And this time it was a very different scenario. I remember when I found out I got pregnant, I just bawled. I cried and cried and cried because there was no way I was going to be able to start a clinic, have a toddler and a baby at the same time. On top of that, I just physically couldn't do what I had just experienced with Easton. There was no way I wanted to go through another 9 months of that back to back. Luckily, things were different. In fact, with her, it was weird because it was like I didn't even feel pregnant. Compared to Easton, I was always sick, always tired. With Addison, it was just so different. I felt fine. I wasn't sick at all. Everything was going well up until 19 weeks. Made it through like the scary part of pregnancy that we think of, and then we went to family function for Thanksgiving. And my little boy, Easton, he was 9 months old, got sick and he had the flu. He had the flu for a week. And of course, mom gets it and dad gets it. And it spread rampant throughout the entire extended family. And then after that, I was over the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. And I had it for 48 hours. I couldn't keep anything down. I couldn't even keep Jamba Juice down. And then come Monday morning, it was like, there started to be some warning signs with my pregnancy. And I remember telling my husband, Andrew, that something was wrong. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's so hard for me. And I remember thinking, I have my 20-week appointment where we're doing the ultrasound that following week. So I'll just wait to tell my midwife. Then I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know it was that wrong. The week goes by. Sunday morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up to my water breaking and having just experienced pregnancy a few months beforehand or labor. I knew what that meant, that I was not in good shape, that both mom and baby were in trouble. So I just wanted to shake it off. I thought, okay, if I go into the bathroom and clean up, then things will resolve on its own and I don't need to worry about it. So I tried, and then the contraction started. And that's when I woke up my husband and I said, we got to go to the ER. I'm in trouble. So we got to the ER. Should have gone to labor and delivery, but we went to the ER nonetheless. And that's where I lost my baby girl. She would be 2 this month. But that's not what was in store for us. My little Addison is up in heaven watching over us. So that was the story of 2 very different pregnancies. I didn't do anything different besides my stress levels with Easton were absolutely through the roof. I remember I took my national board exams with Easton. It was part 4. And they're like a 3-hour in-person exam where you go from room to room to room and you don't have breaks. And so I was like, okay, well, how am I going to go to the bathroom? I'm like just hitting the third try. What am I going to do about food? Can I keep food down during it? So his was very stressful and Addison's was just very different, but the stories are, the outcomes were very different. So we all go through things in life that teach us how to have compassion. For me, up until that point, when someone told me, or a patient told me that they felt that their body had betrayed them, didn't understand. Now I do. So it made me a better doctor because now I understood. It wasn't just in people's heads. It wasn't something that you're going to get over with, especially if you've lost a baby, no matter if it was at 6 weeks in pregnancy or 20 weeks in pregnancy or a stillbirth. It wrecks your world. And I was working with one mom who had 3 kids and had experienced something similar with her fourth pregnancy. She lost her little boy at 16 weeks. It wrecked her, did a number of emotional damage things to her. And her family, they didn't understand. Her family just expected it to, well, it's been 3 years. You should be over it by now. You never get over it. So don't expect yourself to. Don't expect others to. One of our really good friends, they lost their daughter at 16 years old due to a disease that ate away her nervous system. So for the last 3 years of her life, they literally watched their daughter die and couldn't do anything about it. No, it's been 5 or 6 years. I don't expect them to get over it, and nor should we, nor should they. It's something that makes us better people, more compassionate people, especially. So that being said, let me gather myself here. This pregnancy has been much different, thank heavens. It does mess with your head. Having been through what I went through with the second pregnancy, you hit that 20 weeks and you go 21 weeks and it's always, you don't want to get sick. You don't want to, like, you're just terrified of the what ifs. So I'm currently 36 weeks pregnant. I've made it through everything. Sorry. This pregnancy has started off really rough. In fact, I was sick. I was so sick. I remember 1 week, it was week 9 of pregnancy. We'll go back before that. Week 6, I had turned 30. It was my 30th birthday. And I was 6 weeks into pregnancy. And I hadn't told anybody yet besides my, of course, my husband knew. And you're 30 a week, you're 30 years old, you're trying to celebrate. And I was just trying to keep food down. I was so sick of that day. That's when I actually called my mentor and I was like, what do you got for me? Because I got to keep food down. I got to still work. I got to still help my patients. Then a couple of weeks later, it was to the point where I went 4 days without keeping food down. I was in getting IVs every other day. And I asked my midwife about medication because my mentor was like, well, my wife went through the same thing. She did medication. She did Diglegis. So I did Diglegis. I took that every day. It helped. But when that week came where I was so, so sick, they put Zofran inside my IV. That's how that helped me get over the hump. I also discovered that when I started taking like your Pedialyte and your Boosts and those type of nutritious drinks, I just thought one day, I'm like, well, what if I get rid of this? What if this is actually causing me to feel so sick? So I did. I just cut it out. I cut out all dairy. I cut out almond milk, like everything milk-ish, milk-like, cheese, all that. I cut it all out. And it was a night and day difference between me being sick and me being able to eat and keep things down. And I've often wondered since then, what if I would have done the same thing with Easton? Because I literally survived off of Jamba Juice and Boost. So I just wonder if there's something that you may think is aggravating your system. I know I don't do well with dairy, period. I don't have dairy outside of pregnancy. So I just thought, you know, let's start there. Let's just cut dairy back out. And that's what helped me. So maybe something like that can help you. Now, let me give you a few words on when to get pregnant. Not necessarily when to get pregnant, but how to prepare your body best for pregnancy. Because I've had this conversation with my midwife at the last appointment, and she brought up something that I had never thought about. When your body struggles to get pregnant, whether you get pregnant through IVF, IUI, AI, you have a surrogate, whatever the scenario may be, when your body has a difficulty getting pregnant, it also has a difficulty with labor. Now, she's explaining to me to this. She's explaining this to me that she hates delivering IVF babies because it was so hard for mama's body to handle or get pregnant. She hates taking care of them too, because you never know when that body's just going to say, this wasn't right for me, and abort the mission. Struggles with miscarriage, stillbirths, horrible labors are very common with IVF and those type of scenarios. So she hates delivering IVF babies. In fact, one day I was talking to her about this. She was telling me that the day before, she was doing an IVF delivery with a mom she had been working with. And I think she was like 36 weeks. So she had gone pretty far, like full term, basically. And mom, it was a 5-hour pushing and baby still didn't come out. So they ended up having to do a C-section and baby was 5 pounds. So when your body really struggles to get pregnant, it's going to struggle with delivery as well. My philosophy is that if your body struggles to get pregnant, there's probably a reason. And I know you don't want to hear this, but putting in a baby, whether it's IVF, AI, IUI, your uterus is not prepared to handle it. If and you can get your body to a point where you are healthy, vibrant, your hormones are happy, PCOS is a thing of the past, endometriosis, all those things that we associate with infertility or the whole poor egg quality concept, your body is designed to heal. It's not designed to go through intensive 6 months of hormone therapy that you can shove in your body to at a chance for a $10,000 baby. So what I would recommend is that if you're struggling to get pregnant, jump over to one of the other podcasts about PCOS or specifically about infertility. Learn the reasons why, because we are going to dive beyond the diagnosis and learn why and then how you can fix it. It's very, very, very important for mama to be healthy going into pregnancy. You always think that, oh, it's not going to happen to me. And then it does. I thought that it wasn't going to happen to me. And then it did. So I understand from a very sympathetic, compassionate standpoint. But if you're not healthy going into pregnancy, you're not going to be healthy during pregnancy. Your baby's not going to be as healthy as they are. And then you're not going to be the mom that you want to be. So just have a long-term view. Know that if you put the work in before pregnancy and get your body to where it is healthy and can have babies, then you're going to be much better off in the future. I know it's really hard. I know it's really hard when you scroll through Facebook and you see announcements and babies. And I mean, it's crushing. Just know that we all live our own stories and that I can help you get to the bottom of why you're struggling with infertility. I'm not going to tackle that on this one. So jump to the other podcasts or webinars about that one, because you can overcome it. Don't let somebody tell you otherwise. I've had many women I've worked with tell me that their fertility clinic that they went to told them that because their eggs were so poor in quality, they would have to take all of their eggs and just pick and choose which ones were so-called good quality. First off, don't ever let someone take all of your eggs. Ever, ever, ever. You do not make more. Let that sink in for a minute. You're born with the amount of eggs you get. Don't let somebody say that they need to take them all. You're not going to get any back. Any chance you want of having a baby, you're then going to have to go pay the clinic to have that chance. There will never be a chance where you just one day and you're pregnant. That's my little soapbox, because you'd be shocked at how many times it happens and how many women think that they'll just continue to make eggs. It's not the case, ladies. Okay, so when it comes to labor and delivery, let's talk about postpartum depression, because postpartum depression is real and rampant. And I want to share with you my screen here. This comes from postpartumdepression.org. This is all about statistics of PPD. I'll just refer to it in the future as PPD. 70 to 80% of women will experience at a minimum the baby blues. 70 to 80%. 10 to 20% will actually be diagnosed with postpartum depression. There was one study found 1 in 7 women experienced postpartum depression in the year after giving birth, with approximately 4 million live births occurring each year in the US, which would equate to 600,000 PPD diagnoses. Now, those are for live births. So 1 in 7 women with a live, healthy baby, live birth, experiences postpartum depression. What about women who miscarry or have a stillbirth? Around 900,000 will suffer from PPD annually in the US. Across the world, we're looking at hundreds of millions annually. One study found that PPD rates in Asian countries could be at 65% or more among mothers. But these are just statistics, and it actually is believed that more women suffer than actually are diagnosed or go in for help. Now, postpartum depression is a diagnosis. Let's look beyond the diagnosis and let's start focusing on the why. And the why is where my toolkit comes into play. What do I do to take care of myself during labor? Pre-labor, to prepare for labor and post-labor. Because you need your body to be healthy as a mama, and you want baby's body to be healthy. So there are three things inside my toolkit for pre-labor and post-labor. They're the same things, but they have different reasons. So when we talk about pre-labor, going during your pregnancy, your immune system is very, very vital, because you as mama are giving your immune system to baby. That's done through the gut and the vaginal tract if you're doing a vaginal delivery. So one thing that I do is I rotate my probiotics during pregnancy. So I start off with Grava, MBC, and then I go to ABC, and we just kind of rotate through. Now, do I take these every day? No. Do I take anything every day? No. Yeah, that's right. I don't take prenatal. We'll get to that in a minute. ABC and MBC are powerful probiotics, and your gut needs variety. Without variety, it's not a healthy immune system. So if you're taking a probiotic and you've been taking it for longer than 3 months, switch off. I don't care what it is. Just get a new one. So there's new strains, new cultures going inside your body so your gut can stay happy and healthy with a variety of healthy bacteria. Like I said, your gut is your immune system, and you're going to provide your immune system to baby, whether it's through labor or whether it's through breastfeeding. That's where they get the bulk of their immune system. Next one in my toolkit is vitamin D. This is our capsule of vitamin D. We have liquid, but this is DV3. There's also the liquid version. If you like orange soda, it tastes like orange soda. You need to have substantial quantities of vitamin D, one, to help prevent you feeling the baby blues, and two, vitamin D is vital to like every aspect of your body, every equation, every chemical reaction that's going down. You need vitamin D4. So if you're looking at a lab test, your vitamin D needs to be between 80 and 100, not 30 and 100. 30 is too low. 40 is too low. You need to get up there between around that 80 range. That's where I shoot to have patients. And I will guarantee that you're not at 80 if you feel any type of depression or anxiety. I rarely see lab tests at 80. So if you're looking towards getting your number up or even just feeling better, start off with 25,000 IUs of vitamin D per day. Let me say that one more time. 25,000 IUs of vitamin D per day for a month, back down to 20,000 for a month, then 15,000 for a month, then 10,000 for a month. And that's what you're going to want to maintain throughout pregnancy and throughout postpartum. I have worked with postpartum depression PPD mothers, and I've specifically given them vitamin D at that high dosage, at that 25,000 dosage, and it's worked wonders. So if you just want to start with one thing, vitamin D. If you have a history of PPD or you're nervous to get it, this is your first pregnancy, the third key component is your adrenal glands. Your adrenal glands sit in the right above your kidneys. So you have two of them, like the middle of your back. They are responsible for producing cortisol. And cortisol is your stress hormone. You want to have higher cortisol in the morning so you can wake up, and you want to have lower cortisol at night so you can fall asleep. And it basically is this curve throughout the day. Now, postpartum depression, there have been studies, and I truly believe that if mama's adrenal glands are shot going into labor, PPD, you're more at risk for PPD post-labor. Here's why. Mama can actually pull from baby's adrenals in the third trimester. So if your adrenal glands are shot and you're stealing from baby's adrenal glands in the third trimester, then your source gets pulled. Baby is born. Now you don't have their adrenal glands to pull from. You are going to suffer with postpartum depression. There have been links to this being a cause of colic as well, because now baby's adrenal glands are shot because you've been taken from them in the last 3 months. So one of the easiest things you can do, and what I do, is I take GA, which is our adrenal supplement. GA stands for adrenal. It is an adaptogen, so it will lower or raise your cortisol depending on whatever time of day you take it and depending on what you need, which makes it nice. I usually take it before bed because, you know, as well as I know, third trimester can be a struggle with sleep. So I use that to help me go to bed at night. Then when it comes to post-labor, same three things. Rotate those probiotics, especially if you are nursing. You're going to give your probiotics, your immune system to baby through the nurse, through nursing. So you need to be replenishing yours. As a cool side note, the serotonin and dopamine, which often get linked to depression, which I don't believe, but that's a component of it. Serotonin and dopamine are produced from bacteria inside your gut. 95% of it is produced from bacteria inside your gut, not in your brain. So if you really want to have those happy, helpful neurotransmitters that keep your mood stabilized and make you feel happy and motivated, you got to have the bacteria inside your gut to produce them. That's going to come from the probiotics. Rotate those so you have good variety and good strain. Continue that pre-labor and post-labor, especially while nursing. Vitamin D, same thing. 25,000 IUs per day, especially if you're fighting postpartum depression. If you have a tendency to lean that way, just stick with it. 25,000 for like 6 months until you can get through that chunk of time. And then last but not least, adrenals. You go through major trauma with not only labor, not only pregnancy, but in addition to labor and postpartum, your adrenals are going to need help. And that can really help prevent a postpartum depression as well. So my key three things are vitamin D, adrenal, and your gut with probiotics. Rotate those suckers. Prebiotics, add those in too, because the prebiotics feed the probiotics. So they're going to be the food for the good guys. And there you have it. There's my toolkit for having a healthy pregnancy and preventing postpartum depression after labor. Why? Because that's what I'm dealing with right now. My due date is May 10th, and it is currently April 7th. So I hope that's very helpful for you guys. I do often get asked one question about prenatals. I took a prenatal with Easton. I took a one with Addison on rare occasion. I'm not one to take supplements, but I take this stuff. Why? Because I know the quality is top notch. So when it comes to a prenatal, please, please, please don't just go get one off Costco shelf or Walmart. The FDA has no, you don't know what's in it. You don't know the quality. You don't know how it's designed. You don't know what's literally, they could be so full of fillers that may actually be causing the nausea and vomiting. Just go top quality if you're going to do prenatals. I personally don't do a prenatal. I focus on, in the first trimester, you got to have your B vitamins. So I do the 16B that I have on shelf. I know I'm going to get B vitamins with that. And then I just kind of use what I need as I go along. I do take our multivitamin Spectra One. I do take that one on occasion. Minerals are important if you have lots of hair loss or hair thinning with pregnancy or post-pregnancy. Minerals are key. So I do take a mineral throughout pregnancy, just not daily. And I almost guarantee we'll take a mineral after labor on a pretty consistent basis to help hair regrow and stay healthy and strong. So that's my thing with prenatals. I don't take them. I don't take a specific prenatal. I don't like the quality, and I don't think the dosage is high enough in some instances, and they don't have a prebiotic in them or a probiotic. So I just take my components that I need when I need them and go from there. But if your doctor has recommended anything, be sure you stick with your doctor's recommendations. I'm just sharing with you what I do and my experience and what I put inside my toolkit. I am not your doctor. I am a doctor, but I am not yours. So be sure you listen to your doctor when it comes to labor and delivery and pre-labor and post-labor and all that fun stuff. I'm Dr. Kylie. I'm here to help you look beyond the diagnosis and really treat the why behind symptoms. And so you can not only live the life that you were designed to live, but you can live a life where you can dream. So that being said, I will see you guys on the next episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.